English text here. Since you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, you have love for your brothers. Philadelphia is one Greek word for those, that English phrase. The root of it is one of four Greek words for love. It's the word phileo, which is the word P-H-I-L-E-O. It's the word for affection, for fondness. Philadelphia, when you take the compound word and you make it love for your brothers, it means that you have a fondness for somebody because you're related to them. And then the next word, love, is the word agape. If phileo is feelings love or affection love, agape is choice love. It's when I choose to do what is best and loving for this person, whether I feel anything for them or not, whether they deserve it or not. It's the highest form of love. It's the way all of us want to be loved. Don't you want somebody to love you even when you stink? When you have a bad day, you want somebody to love you? It's God's love. It's fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians. Now here's just a little rabbit trail, but it's an important distinction. You can't command people to have phileo love. You can't command people to have affection for each other. You're going to be fond of some people, and you're not going to be fond of other people. And that's just the way it is. You can't make somebody have those feelings. You can command someone to have agape love, because it's their irrespective of feelings or worthiness or anything else. It's simply a choice that you make. And we are commanded over and over in Scripture to love one another using this word agape. I have to tell you that whenever you, this is my experience as a pastor. One of the reasons I didn't want to be a pastor was because I knew God was going to send me people I didn't like. And they maybe didn't like me, and they were going to be irritating, and God was going to require that I love them. And it was a great relief when I realized I didn't have to like them to love them with agape love. I had to make choices from my heart. Remember, it says, love one another deeply from your heart is the whole phrase that's used here. I can choose to do what is best for them. In fact, I would think agape love shines the best when people don't deserve it. And I still choose to do what's loving for them. Here's something I've discovered. I learned this from Beth Moore in a book, one of her books. It was a short little book called, I think it was Ponderings of a Lesser Woman. It was a great book. It was her story of her family adopting an abused child. Probably the child should not have been given to a family, probably should have been institutionalized. There were all kinds of behavioral issues that were, and sometimes dangerous, and at best were disruptive and painful. They felt God told them to take this child in and love this child like their own. And that's where she talked about agape love was the only kind that you can give. How do you give love to somebody when you have no feelings for them? You make the right choices. Here's the quote that she said, and I have found this to be true. I found this to be true of people God sent to me as a pastor. I found it to be true of my own family members. She said, when you love someone with agape love and you put your heart into it, it's inevitable that eventually you'll start having feelings for them. You just can't do it. Because it's God's love. The problem is we get irritated and we want the feelings to come first. So Peter is saying, look, you have feelings for one another just because we're all the big kumbaya sitting around the campfire, brothers and sisters. We are one in the spirit, you know. But he said, I'm commanding you to have agape love for each other. And there's this wonderful adverb, love, agape, one another deeply from your heart. I didn't write the Greek word down, sorry. Fred was here, he would give it to you. You can look it up if you want to in a concordance, but here's what the word comes from: stretching. Here's what my dictionary said about this adverb, love, deeply. It says, with intense effort, stretching yourself. If there was ever a job description of my job, that's it. It's get out of yourself. It's not all about you. Put forth the effort. Bear with people's foibles and irritations. Stretch yourself out and choose to do the loving and best thing for them. That's what Peter is saying. Isn't it ironic that we all want to be part of a group like that? As long as we don't have to do it, we want everyone else to love us. The minute that we say we are going to be a church that's filled with agape love, I promise you, it will be tested. There's a few people in the last 12 years I have earnestly wished God would take them away. And he didn't. He just told me to love them. And I'm not praying for him to take them away anymore, because now I have feelings for them and I love them. And I, you know what I mean? So Peter must know something to use the words that he uses. Our human tendency is we like people that like us back. We like people that like the same things we do. But the body of Christ is going to be bigger than that. There's going to be people that don't like the same things that you do. There are going to be people that you try to carry on a conversation with them, and it's like you're speaking a different language. And yet our command is to love one another deeply. Despite feelings, we bear with each other and we choose to do the right thing. And of course, what happens eventually, thank you, Beth Moore, eventually you will start having that feelings kind of love for them. The reason to do that, verse 23, is because you have been born again, not with perishable seed, but with imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. I haven't even got to my main. Do I have 10 more minutes? I think I do. I started late. I haven't even got to the main theme about craving God's word. We might have to change the title. You've been born again with imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. I had you underline three words, word, in these next few verses. This one is the word logos. And I've heard it pronounced all different kinds of ways, but it's L-O-G-O-S. And in essence, the logos is the expression of God. The Bible is called the logos of God. It's everything that God has had to say written down on paper. Everything that he said to be written down on paper. Jesus is called the logos of God, the expression of God. Remember Jesus said, you want to see what the Father's like? Look at me. Watch what I do. Listen to what I say, because I do what he says to do and I say what he says to say, and I'm just like him. So it's the expression of God. The other two words I had you underline here in verse 24 and 25, or verse 25, is the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A. It's what God is saying personally now. It's the immediate expression. We sang a couple of songs about this. We sang, thy word is a lamp to my feet. That's a quotation from one of the Psalms speaking about the Bible. But we also sang, this is my daily bread, your very word spoken to me. the Word of God spoken now, and the Word of God in the Bible. I have found in my life, perhaps you have, that sometimes they coincide with each other. Somebody told me this last Sunday, I want to pass this on to Wayne, I hope they told Wayne. But Sunday morning, Saturday night and Sunday morning, or the Sunday I was gone, they had some really deep, heart-wrenching questions. And they were praying and asking God to please answer those questions, and they came to church on Sunday, and what Wayne taught on answered every single one of those questions. And the lady was astonished. And I said, well, do you know why that is? And she said, no. And I said, because Wayne was praying, Lord, I want to say what you want to say to your people. And he made himself available. Just that simple. Max Licato does that all the time for me. John Corson does that all the time for me. Sometimes, have you ever had something burning in your heart you needed to hear from the Lord, or just confusion, and you read a scripture that just jumped right out, hit you right in the face, should have had your name on it, it's like the ink was still wet, like somebody was writing that down really fast right before you read it. Ever had that happen? That's both the logos of God and the rhema of God. God's speaking to you right now. What's already been recorded is part of the expression of God that we have historically. How can he do that? Well, it tells us here in verse 23 that the Logos of God is living. It's alive. It's enduring. Down here in verse 25, the Rhema, the God speaking to you right now, stands forever. How can that be? Well, it's because it's spoken by a person who stands forever. Pretty simple. Let me read this passage from Isaiah. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the rhema, the word of the Lord, stands forever. And this is the rhema, the word that was preached to you. Peter's just got a really good grasp of the eternity involved in the truth of the gospel. Do I have 10 more minutes? Five more minutes? Okay. Well, I'm going to skip over the first verse of chapter 2, and we'll get it next time, but I do want to spend my last few minutes looking at this phrase in verse 2 of chapter 2. Like newborn babies, crave the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up. Every mother or every person that's ever observed a newborn will understand that the verb in this sentence, to, like newborn babies, crave the pure milk of the word, the pure nourishment of the word. The word crave, great word. One of my Greek commentaries says this word means voracious and impatient hunger. Is there ever a way to better way to describe newborn babies when it comes to nourishment? All life stops. I want my food. I want it right now. Drop what you're doing and get over here as fast as you can, and it's not fast enough. That whole attitude. Isn't it interesting that Peter says that's the way that you should crave God's word? And then he adds the addendum, and we'll look at this next time, that that's how you're going to grow up. Can we talk? The most distressing thing to me in my life right now is all the people that I know, even people in this church, that don't crave God's word. They can take it or leave it. The ones that do crave it are growing up, because that's the way it works. The ones that crave it are drawing closer to God. Their faith is being strengthened. And the ones that aren't are just sort of drifting. And it breaks my heart because it's so unnecessary. Peter, thank you, buddy, for telling me that I should be like a newborn baby and I should crave, I should be voracious and impatient in my hunger for God's word, because by it, the Amplified Bible says, by it you are nurtured and you grow up into complete salvation. Salvation isn't the end, it's the beginning of the journey. We're saved, but now we grow up. Now we become all that God wants us to be, and God's word is the way that we do that. A lot of good stuff in there, huh? Thank you for your patience. Let's cement this, okay? Let's pray. Way bigger stuff, the Lord, than my brain can immediately grasp, and I am praying for everybody that's seriously listening to these words and reading these words out of their Bibles, Lord, that we would ponder these things, that the things that require attention and application and diligence, that we would consider them carefully. The warnings and the encouraging things alike. And Lord, we just commit to the Holy Spirit in each one of your believers that hear these words, whether it's here in this room or some other part of the world at some other time hearing it in recorded form, Lord, I pray they would be words from you, the rhema of God, your word to them right now when they hear it. And those of us that have heard it, Lord, I pray like James said, that we would not just be hearers only, but doers, that we would respond and apply. For my part, Lord, I want to be like Job that says that the words of your mouth are treasured more than my necessary food. And I want to have a voracious and impatient hunger for everything that you want to say to me, whether it's in your word, whether it's in conversation with you throughout the day. And Lord, I pray in support of every other person that feels that way. In these dark times, in times that are more perilous than we realize, may we be grounded and rooted in you, Lord. May we love one another deeply. Stretch ourselves to love with agape love. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.